Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear the truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part two of The Condemnation of the Religious Man. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 2, verse 22, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
So, this whole portion of Scripture, although originally written to the Jew, has application in principle to those who call themselves Christians. In principle, these same things can be applied to those who call themselves Christians. Now, self-righteousness and hypocrisy always lead to God's name being blasphemed among the unbelievers. We need to remember that. God forbid that the same thing would be said of us that was said of the Jews. And of course, tragically, the reality is it has been said, it could be said today. But hopefully it's not said of us personally or individually. Hopefully we're not contributing to that God being blasphemed among the unbelievers because of the way we're living. But self-righteousness and hypocrisy will always lead to that. So there are two things that we must remember as God's people in this period of time. We must remember, number one, that only grace separates us from the lost. And since that's the truth, we should never become prideful of our salvation. We should never look down our nose upon lost people. We should never think ourselves better than those that are lost. We always have to keep at the forefront of our minds that but for the grace of God, there go I. I'd be in the same position were it not for God's grace. The only thing that separates me from the sinner, the only thing that separates me from the person who's perishing, is the grace of God has been inserted into my life. And what is the grace of God? It's God's free gift. It's unmerited favor. So it's not because I earned it. It's not because I did something to deserve it. It's not because God looked at me and said, well, you know, he's just a little bit better than that group there, and I'm going to take him because of that, and I'm going to elevate him and bless him. Anytime I think like that, my thinking is completely wrong. I am what I am, Paul said, by the grace of God, meaning I am what I am by unmerited favor. I am what I am because God just put his hand on me and called me, and all I did was just simply respond to that call. So we've got to remember that. Because sometimes what can happen is we can lose sight of where we came from. We can forget the extent of God's mercy and grace that was shown to us, and we can start looking down at other people, and we can start feeling superior to them, and we can start acting self-righteously, and we can be a real stumbling block to them in the sense of drawing them to Christ. They're not going to want to come to the Lord if they sense that holier-than-thou kind of attitude that's with us. So we've got to be on our guard against that. That's number one. Secondly, we must remember to practice what we preach. And this is probably one of the greatest hindrances to the furtherance of the gospel, is Christians not practicing what they preach or not living what they claim to believe. This is the thing that people are very put off by, as you well know. People just don't go in for that. If you're saying one thing, they want to see you doing it. And of course, it's not just the people that want to make sure you're practicing what you preach. God tells us to do the same thing. And so we've got to really be diligent in that area. And since we've got to practice what we preach, you know what that will lead to? It will lead to a lot more thoughtfulness before we say things. And it will also lead to a lot more grace in the way we say things. Because if I realize that, you know, the standard that I put out there is the same standard that's coming back on me, then I have got to make sure that, when I'm speaking, that my speech is always with grace. You know, there's ways that we can come off to unbelievers, and it can be such a turnoff. It can just push them, repel them away from the Lord rather than draw them to the Lord. So we've got to be really wise and sensitive, and considering our own selves, that's a great place to start. Paul says that to the Galatians. He's talking about the person who sees another brother that's overtaken in a fault. What does he say to do? He says, "You who are spiritual, go to such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." So you see, it's again the attitude, it's the heart that God is wanting to make sure is right with us, even as we approach an erring brother, even as we approach somebody who's stumbling, even as we encounter somebody in sin, we need to keep in mind our own need for grace. I need grace, and so I want to be a dispenser of grace to others. You see, God is more concerned with the heart than with outward religious forms. And that is made clear over and over again in the pages of Scripture. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God's looking at the heart. Now, taking what Paul said here, the principle that he said here, and applying it to ourselves as Christians rather than just leaving it with the Jews, let's look at the things that he talks about here and how they might apply to us. So to the Jew, of course, he's talking about circumcision. He's talking about this ritual. He's talking about this outward thing. Now, we don't have circumcision in the Church of Jesus Christ, but what we do have is we have baptism. And there are similarities between the two in as far as what they symbolize. So circumcision symbolized the cutting away of the flesh, cutting away of the old sinful nature. Baptism signifies the death and burial of the old sinful nature, the old man. We were buried with him through baptism. So it's a kind of a corresponding thing. But again, the outward sign is valid only when there is a corresponding inward reality. So in other words, if we're simply trusting in baptism to save us, the outward external act, then we're deceiving ourselves and we're just like the Jews of Paul's day. Now, I would take it even a little bit further than baptism, because as time has gone on, we've sort of developed a few other ritual types of things that in some ways have not totally substituted for baptism, but we look at these things, if a person goes through this particular ritual, then we consider them to now be a saved person. I'm talking about an altar call, person responding to an altar call. Now, again, of course, all of these can be legitimate means by which people really do connect with the Lord. But as you well know, they can also be simply rituals that people go through that have nothing corresponding internally. Masses of people have gone forward in church services, at invitations that have been given, at crusades and so forth, but nothing happened in their hearts. There was never a transformation of their life because of a work of the Spirit of God in their heart. But if you ask them about faith in Jesus, or, you know, would they like to come to know the Lord? People will say, oh, I already know the Lord. I'm already a Christian. I don't need that. Thank you very much. No, go talk to somebody else. Well, wait a second. What do you mean you're a Christian? How do you know you're a Christian? Well, I went forward at that crusade. Or somebody led me in that sinner's prayer. Or I was baptized at a certain point in my life. None of those things necessarily translate into a real salvation. They can, of course, they're not the cause of a real salvation. Personal faith in Christ is the cause of a real salvation. But these are the outward signs, but they don't necessarily mean that a person's saved. So we have got to be clear on that. Secondly, the Jews had the possession of the law. We have the possession of the Bible. And we might look at it like this, that just because we have a knowledge of the Bible doesn't necessarily mean we are genuinely converted. Doesn't necessarily mean that we're genuinely born again. You see, if your Bible knowledge hasn't led you to the Savior and then to an obedient walk with Him, then that Bible knowledge is useless. But why do I say that? Because there are lots of people that will put their trust in the wrong thing. They'll put their trust in the fact that they know the Bible. They've studied it to some degree. They know Bible prophecy. They know end times stuff. They got it all down. They've been on the internet. They searched it all out and they've read all the books and they can tell you who the Antichrist is and where he lives and when he's going to show up on the scene and all of this kind of stuff. But when you observe their lives, you're hard-pressed to see any fruit of the Spirit, any real evidence of a genuine salvation in that person's life, although they've got a fair amount of Bible knowledge. You see, some people are, that's their trust. They're trusting in their knowledge, just like the Jew was trusting in his possession of the Scriptures rather than obedience to the Scriptures. So we've got to understand this. And I say this because I can't tell you how many times I hear stories or I see these things myself where professing Christians, people who attend church, people who go to Bible study, people who sometimes even witness to other people, when it comes to the way they live their lives at home, when it comes to the way they treat their wives, perhaps, or deal with their children, or when it comes to the way that they conduct themselves in business or any other realm of life, there's nothing to indicate that there's any serious connection to Christ in their life because they just don't act like Christ. They don't behave like Him. They don't treat other people the way the Lord would treat other people. They don't love. And it's sad, but it's true. So I think because of our Christian subcultural environment that we find ourselves in, there's a lot of people that are walking around assuming they're Christians, telling people they're Christians, but their assumption is false because it's based on this kind of thing. It's based on a ritual, or it's based on information that they've been able to gather. In some cases, as with the Jews and their belief that their descent from Abraham was the thing that put them in a favored position with God, there are some today who also hold to those kinds of ideas, that they have Christian family ties, and therefore that is what gives them favor with God. Or they belong to a particular church, a particular denomination maybe, or a particular congregation where God has been known to be at work or something like that. These things are realities that people deceive themselves into believing. But you see, if you're not a member of the family of God through personal faith in Jesus Christ, that it wouldn't matter what family or church you belong to, it wouldn't profit you anything. That's not the way it works. You've heard this before, but it's true. God has no grandchildren. You're either a child of God, and that happens through direct contact with God through Christ, or you're outside of the family. You can't get in on the coattails of somebody else. You can't expect that because one of your family members might have been a significant person in a church somewhere, or maybe a well-known Christian leader or something like that, that that somehow translates into you being okay with God. It doesn't work that way. Now, most of you are saying, well, we already know that, Brian, of course. Why are you telling us this? Because there are people who evidently don't know it, because they go around thinking that everything's okay. I've had people tell me everything's okay because of these kinds of things, not understanding that these kinds of things do not save you. Whether it be baptism or going forward or knowing the Bible or having Christian family ties or being involved in a particular church or whatever the case. So we don't want to make the same mistake that the Jews made, and it's quite easy to make the mistake. People have made it all throughout history. This is not an exclusively Jewish problem. This is a human problem. This is what we tend to do. We tend to substitute ritual and external things for that which is internal. We put the emphasis on the wrong thing. And there's multitudes of people. I hate to say it, but it's true. There's multitudes of people that attend churches on a weekly basis or a semi-regular basis. They might have membership at a particular church. You ask them maybe a question about faith or something like that, and they would make a comment, well, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Catholic, or I'm whatever the case might be. But in the end, they are simply linked to an organization, but they have no vital connection with the living God. And that's the thing that we have to be aware of. That's the thing that we have to be on our guard against. And we could take these last two verses and we could just slightly change them and retain the exact point that Paul makes here. For he is not a Christian who is one outwardly. He is not a Christian who is one outwardly. This is probably the most frustrating thing in all the world to those who want to see the kingdom of God advanced. It's so frustrating to find that there are people who are Christians outwardly, but they're not really Christians. But they're Christians outwardly. And because they're Christians outwardly, they do all kinds of things that are confusing and stumbling and offensive. And then people look on and say, well, that's Christianity. I don't want to have anything to do with it. That's the way Christians think, or that's the way they act, or that's the way they deal, or that's what they feel about this. I don't want to have any association with anything like that. But they're not getting a true picture of what a Christian really is, because there's so much of this external religion. For he is not a Christian who is one outwardly, or she, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he or she is a Christian who is one inwardly and, forget circumcision, and baptism is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men but from God. So you see, the principle is there for us as well. And let's make sure that our Christianity is real. Let's make sure it's real. You cannot underestimate the power of a genuine life lived for the glory of God. It's powerful. Don't underestimate that. It's just the genuineness of it itself, just the realness of it. There's something about that that is so powerful. When it is there, it's there, and there's no substituting for it. You can't fake it. If it's fake, people will pick up on it in a heartbeat. It's just got to be the real thing. But when it is so powerful. And like I said, when you look at the long history of the church, the greatest tragedy has just been the fact that what the Jews did with Judaism, people did with the Christian faith as well. They externalized it. They turned it into just rituals and outward observation and things of that nature. And the power, the transforming power, that dynamic, that vital element, that life, that thing that would make it so attractive to people was lost. And God help us not to do the same thing, not to lose that. And it's fairly simple. It really comes down to just having a true relationship with the Lord personally, not being a hypocrite, not pretending, not being self-righteous, but just being humble. You know, we're not perfect people. We don't have to be perfect to show the world that Jesus is alive. He's not calling us to be perfect. He's calling us to just be authentic. Be real, be gracious, be humble, be loving. And all of that will be the natural byproduct of just having that genuine connection with him, that connection in the heart. That's what Paul's talking about here. And that's where the Jews failed. Their religion was outward, it wasn't inward, so it profited them nothing, and they would ultimately find themselves in the same boat with the Gentiles, as Paul says here. And as he will go on to conclude the argument as we make it into the third chapter, to ultimately show that all the world is in this condemned state, and therefore everyone needs the gospel of Christ. Everyone needs the grace of God. But we, to apply it to ourselves personally, we want to make sure that we're not settling for external things. We're not settling for rituals. We're not just going through religious motions. That we really have a genuine relationship with the Lord. That's what it's all about. That's what he came to bring us. A relationship from the heart. You see the difference we say so often, and sometimes it sounds a little confusing to people. You know, we say, no, I'm not religious, or I'm not into religion. This is about a relationship. And this is the kind of thing we're talking about. This is the contrast we're making here. It's the difference between external and internal. It's a difference between following rules and going through rituals and having an actual relationship with the living God, where he's the Lord of my life and he's working in my life and he's speaking to me and he's instructing me and he's convicting me and he's leading me on his path into his purposes and finally to glory. And so that's Paul's point here. He is not a Christian who is one outwardly. Circumcision or baptism is not outward in the flesh, but it's a matter of the heart.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of All the World Guilty Before God. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Condemnation of the Religious Man. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0110. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson, also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.